29 minutes to the hour of 10. We are joined on the line by Mufti Zubair Bayat. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
Yes, once again, Jazakumullah khairan for joining us on the program. In the previous programs, Mufti Saab has been discussing the fiqh of children, discussing different topics, angles, nazar, etc. Mufti Saab, we continue with the discussion this morning. Mufti Saab is speaking about, cursing your own children.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, could we continue with our previous discussion on the fiqh of children? We've covered various aspects today, inshallah. We will cover some additional aspects. One aspect is about cursing one's children and terrible repercussions of such an action. We often find that parents succumb to anger and frustration, and in that anger and frustration, they utter words not realizing the impact of those words that will harm their children for life. Because we often find that in that anger and frustration, they say such words to their children that is tantamount to a curse. It's like a baddua. And the dangerous thing is the du'as of a parent, whether good or bad, are immediately accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So later the parents regret very much, but the arrow has been shot from the bow, and once the arrow is shot from the bow, you can never bring it back. Like the bullet has gone out of the gun, you can't bring it back. Like that, the arrow and the baddua of the parent, once it has escaped from their lips, they can't bring it back. So therefore, it is very, very important that parents should not act in frustration, and they should not say things in anger and when they are emotional and temperamental that could harm their children in the long term. As it is, to make baddua for anyone is something that is frowned upon in the Sharia. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to curse a mu'min is equivalent to killing him. So this is how bad it is to curse someone. And also it is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif that if someone curses someone, then that curse looks, it goes up into the sky and then it descends. And it looks for the person who is recipient of that. If the person who was cursed is not a worthy recipient, then the curse will go on to the person who made the curses in the first place. It will go and fall back onto that very person. So from this we see how bad it is to curse, and that this is something that can be very dangerous when it comes to one's own children. We find parents saying things like, I hope you are not born, I just hope you die, I just hope you don't succeed in life, I hope you suffer, like you are making me suffer. Waliyadu billah. It will be very, very detrimental. You are actually going to do so much of harm to your child with those words that no enemy will be able to harm your child like how your own words will harm your child. This is how dangerous it is to make baddua and to curse one's children. Of course, the children should also be careful not to earn the wrath and the curses of their parents. But parents are required by virtue of the fact that Allah has given them age on their side, knowledge and wisdom and experience on their side, and being responsible and elder on their side, to be kind and compassionate to the younger ones, and to overlook and to forgive and to tolerate. And if they don't have these qualities of toleration and forgiveness and overlooking and patience, and they give in and they vent their frustrations and their anger, they will then face the consequences together with their children, because when they curse their children, it's going to affect them as well. If Allah forbid you cursed your child, may you suffer. the child becomes so sick now that now you're taking the child from doctor to doctor, hospital to hospital, and you're looking for all kinds of treatment for the child. The child is just not getting better. Child is permanently ill and sick, suffering in pain. Now, will the parents be happy? Will the parents be comfortable? Will they be at ease? Will they enjoy their life knowing their child is suffering? Then they can't be called parents. Then they won't be qualified to be parents of such a child. The parents are such that any suffering or pain to their child is more painful to them than even to the child itself. So now these parents, by cursing the child, they've destroyed the child, but they've also destroyed their own happiness and peace of mind, because now they are the ones who have to take the child all over to the doctors and treatment and look after the child and spend so much of money on trying to, you know, restore the health of the child, that it wasn't worth cursing that child. It's far more painful for them. So from this we see how important it is that parents should be very cognizant of this fact, that not a moment they should ever, Allah forbid, say a word that can be construed as a curse for their children or for their child.
Yes, Mufti Saab, in this, when we speak about, you know, cursing the child, and when the child angers the parent, then they would utter these words. And together with this, sometimes you find that we use names that are also not, appropriate, by calling the child, foolish or stupid, idiot, you fool. This would also fall under that bracket, Mufti Saab?
Yes, good question, Mona. Very, very true. Absolutely. This also becomes, this can also be construed as a kind of a curse. Not exactly a curse like how when you would say properly, but it is not appropriate. In fact, it's not a good thing at all to use such derogatory words for one's children, like you stupid, you fool, you idiot, and some people use words like khabees, and nalaik, and this kind of words, ashaitan, iblis. Now, even if those words don't affect the child in the sense that it was just meant as a kind of a threat, but you are psychologically damaging the child. And the child is going to grow up with an inferiority complex. Child is going to feel, you know what, my father used to call me Iblis, or used to call me Shaitan, so I am a Shaitan. So what difference does it make if I behave like a Shaitan? Or if you say stupid, idiot, the children will grow up saying, well, my mother used to always call me an idiot, so I am an idiot, so if I behave like an idiot, what difference does it make? So we're actually psychologically putting the children down, and we are damaging their psyche, we are damaging them psychologically, and the effect is going to be that they will live with that stigma, or they will live that what is in their minds, in their psyche, and they will not be able to perform their best because they've always been put down. So either way, cursing one's children or using bad words for them is very, very detrimental and harmful. Rather than cursing them, rather lift your hands and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala must guide them, Allah ta'ala must give them hidayat, Allah must give them understanding. If you're frustrated with your child and they're making you so upset and angry, rather say, Allah give you hidayat. Allah give you guidance. Allah make you better than cursing them. Now, I'm just sort of thinking of one very remarkable incident of how a mother's words to a child can have such a positive impact, even when it is said in anger and frustration. Now, it is said about the famous Imam of the Haram Sharif, Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sudais, Hafizahullah, famous Imam of our time of the Haram, Sheikh Sudais. now the minister of the Haramain Sharifain, like a government ministry position. The Sheikh is a well-known person, beautiful recitation of the Quran, and a very liked personality by all and sundry. Really adore Sheikh Sudais. Lots of children try to read like him too. It is said about him that when he was a youngster, he was a bit mischievous, and sometimes his mother used to get upset with him. But when she got upset with him, subhanAllah, this is now the benefit of, you know, having proper knowledge and understanding and knowing about upbringing of children. She didn't curse him. But what did she do? She made dua for him. Allah make you the Imam of the Haram. May Allah make you the Imam of the Haram. Maybe he was, you know, not doing some things properly or whatever. So she felt by making this dua for him, he'll become a better person. And subhanAllah, what was the impact of the dua of that mother? With whatever intention she may have made it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated the Shaykh to the position of Imam of the Haram. For the last 18 years, he's the Imam of the Haram. So we see that you rather give your children dua, even in that moment of frustration and anger, give them some kind of dua, that dua inshallah will benefit them. Now another incident along this line, famous alim, very famous personality, the ulama know his name, Allama Sa'aduddin Taftazani, rahmatullah alayhi. Allama Sa'aduddin Taftazani is a very great mufassir of the Quran. He wrote a whole tafsir of the Quran. He, when he was a young boy, one day he managed to catch a bird in a trap that he set. And he grabbed that bird and he was mishandling it, and in the process he actually broke the leg of the bird. These birds are very, very delicate, and if you just mishandle them a little bit too, you put a little bit of force, you can break their brittle little bones. And he ended up breaking the bones of this bird, or he broke its leg, and the bird started limping, and his mother was very upset with him, that why did you harm this poor animal? Why did you have to cause taklif to an animal, an innocent animal that did no harm to you? So in that moment of anger, she cursed him and she said, may Allah break your leg too. Finished. That was it. Next thing, he tripped and fell, and he broke his leg so badly that he became limp for the rest of his life. For the rest of his life, he became limp. He couldn't walk like a normal person. Now the mother was very, very regretful and remorseful that what did I do? How could I have cursed my child like this? So to compensate for that, she now started making fervent dua, oh Allah, make my son the greatest alim of his time. Make him the most learned scholar of the time. So subhanAllah, on one side the mother cursed the child and she realized her mistake. Now she started making dua for him. And continuously for years she made this dua for him, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated him to the rank that he became amongst the greatest ulama and scholars of his time. Allama Taftazani rahmatullah alayhi. He is known to all the ulama and the scholars as a great mufassir. He's written a tafsir of the Holy Quran also, Tafsir al-Kashaf. The famous Tafsir al-Kashaf was written by Allama Sa'aduddin Taftazani rahmatullah alayhi. And that was the barakat of the dua of his mother. So part of the fiqh of children and upbringing of children is to ensure that we do not ever curse them, because cursing them can be very, very harmful and detrimental to them. Now, side by side with cursing, we come up with another aspect, and that is beating up one's children, hitting one's children. Now, this is also a very important topic, so inshallah, we will touch on this as well in our program today, Maulana.
Ji, Maulana.
We find often, also as a result of frustration, anger, and being temperamental, parents sometimes vent this frustration on their children, or they vent their anger by beating them up, by assaulting them. Now, this is a very, very harmful thing also, if it is done in an indiscriminate manner, it is done inappropriately, then it will be something that will be a lifelong problem. It can damage the child very badly, it can have lots of repercussions on the child in the future, in the long term, and it can lead to personality disorders in the child. And that child could become a real nuisance in society, could become a real menace to society, could become a very violent person, because violence begets violence, and you've brought up your children with violence, they will become violent people. They could become child abusers themselves, they could become wife abusers, they could be very frustrated and aggressive people, or they could be the opposite of that, that those children could grow up very timid and very, docile, and, you know, people who have got a kind of a inferiority complex and full of anxieties and fears. So it could be the opposite effect, that they become so docile they cannot fight for their rights, they can't stand up for their rights, people will trample over them, people will take advantage of them, people will oppress them, and yet they will do nothing to fight back for their rights. Why? Because their will and their defense has been sort of broken down, and they become very timid people, very scared people, they're very afraid of doing anything, very full of anxiety and so on. So this could be the other effect of beating up the children. And the Sharia also does not allow beating up of the children indiscriminately. One cannot slap anybody in the face. This is prohibited strictly by the Hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he said it's not allowed for anyone to slap anyone in the face, because the face was made by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and nobody has got a right to slap anyone in the face, to hit them around their heads. Their heads are very sensitive. Their bones are still developing. They could cause damage to their brain, and that could be a lifelong problem. To hit them at any other sensitive part of their body, their organs, the upper part of the body where their organs, etc., are, you could damage the organs, and it's a lifelong problem then. And besides the physical scars, as I said, there will be lots of psychological and emotional scars. Those scars, the physical scars may disappear after some time, but the emotional scars remain for a lifetime. So therefore, the Sharia has given clear-cut guidance and guidelines as far as these things are concerned. One should be very, very cognizant of these guidelines. The Sharia encourages that you must talk to your children, give them a lot of encouragement, reason with them, justify things with them, rationalize with them. Don't be harsh towards them. Don't be cruel towards them. Don't mete out any kind of what we will call rehabilitative action against them when you're in a state of anger. Whatever rehabilitative action you have to take, you must take it when you are calm and you have thought it out thoroughly. these are those factors that one must bear in mind. Especially in this day and age, there's even legislation to the effect. And it will be construed as child abuse. So therefore, one has to be very careful. There have been cases where the children reported the matter to the child protection unit, and the parents were arrested. And then those children were taken away from them and placed in homes under the supervision of social workers. And the parents were deprived of custody of their own children. Now, sometimes that could be like going from the frying pan into the fire. It's obviously being brought up at home, no matter how weak your parents are as parents, and being brought up in a home under a social worker, you can never compare the two. So therefore, be careful not to allow such situations to arise. In your anger and frustration, you do something that will harm your child, and it could harm even from legal and social perspective. By following the guidelines of the Sharia, we are safe in this dunya and we are safe in the akhirah. So these are important aspects regarding the fiqh of children. I think inshallah we will conclude today's discussion on this note, Maulana. And we will continue inshallah in the subsequent weeks discussing other aspects of the fiqh of children. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Zubair Bayatsab discussing with us the fiqh of children and the way to deal with the children in this modern era that we know it sometimes could be very difficult, and many parents say that it has become very difficult to discipline the children in this era. So these are some pertinent advices that Mufti Saab has shared with us. We hope to have you on the program next week as well to continue with the discussion. 6 minutes to the hour of 10, we've come to the end of the program this morning. The book review program, we spoke about the 40 hadith on the virtues of Sham and the people of Sham as well with Mufti with Maash of Dokrat. And thereafter, discussing with Mufti Zubair Bayatsab the fiqh of children, discussing that, you know, we should not be cursing our children, even though they may anger us, even though they might frustrate us. We should never curse them and scold them in such a manner that may harm them, you know, that may harm them with regards to their, you know, give them a psychological pain when we say these words, when we curse them, when we call them names that we should not be calling them. But rather look at the guidelines of Sharia and look at what Islam has taught us in the way of upbringing and bringing up their children as well. Mufti Saab touching on the, you know, beating the children and giving them a good hiding as well. That also could have an impact on the mindset of the child, and together with the physical harm, also psychological harm that may come with that when you really give them a good hiding or a beating. It all should be done, you know. It should, when we are bringing up children and when they do something wrong and when they frustrate us, then you should deal with it in a very calm manner. It shouldn't be just at that moment when you are in anger, when you are frustrated, you say something that might harm the child in the later years once he grows up. So that was Mufti Zubair Bayatsab discussing with us the fiqh of children. Inshallah, he will be on the program again next week, continuing with the discussion. From myself, Ibrahim Dar, and our studio operator this morning, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.